We've been looking at the topics of Advent, Advent meaning the coming of something or someone. At Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus coming to this world, and we also celebrate his soon return. In the Old Testament, it says that there's anywhere from 300 to 400 predictions, prophecies of the coming deliverer, the Messiah, and to try to figure out the mathematical probability that one person could fulfill that many prophecies, well, it's just simply mind-blowing. How can we know? How can we know that Jesus is the one? That Jesus is the one that fulfills the prophecies that were spoken of? You could just say, well, you have to receive it by faith. But we as Christians, we don't need to just check our brains at the door. The Old Testament prophecies, they will give detail about where the Messiah would be born, where he would grow up, the things that he's going to do, even how he's going to die, and even a specific number of coins that would be used to betray him. It's said that in order to fulfill 322 prophecies by one man during his lifetime, that the probability is 1 over 84 with 100 zeros after it. Now that should strengthen your faith. I'm reminded of an interview of John MacArthur by Ben Shapiro. And John Mack, he said that he was a Christian because of the Old Testament. He said, without the Old Testament, I don't know whether I could believe the New Testament. And so we have these prophecies, we have these foretold predictions that are in the Old Testament. They're fulfilled within Jesus of Nazareth. There's better chances of every single person in this room winning the lottery and getting struck by lightning than one person fulfilling all of these prophecies. And so we can have great joy knowing that Jesus is the one. He's the giver of joy, and at Christmas we celebrate his coming to this earth. He's the Son of God that came to pay for our sins by dying on the cross. In Matthew 1:21, we have the angel of the Lord tell Joseph to take Mary to be his wife and that she will bear a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus came to save sinners. And as Christians, Christmas helps us to remind that of what we believe. That the Lord Jesus, he came because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We failed to meet his perfect standard, and we are incapable of achieving heaven on our own merit. And so we needed a Savior, one who would know what it was like to be tempted and yet still without sin. And so the word Christmas, it's actually a compound word, the Mass, which was known as the central act of worship in the church. In Latin, the word is missa, referring to a church service. And the word Christ comes from the Greek Christos, which means anointed one. I think most of you know that Christ wasn't Jesus' last name. His parents weren't Mary Christ and Joseph Christ. Christ comes with the same meaning of that of the Hebrew word Mashiach, or Messiah, as we would say in the English. And so Christmas means the church service, or the service of the Christ Mass. And so as believers, we focus on the birth of the Savior, the Lord Jesus. We remember his first arrival, and we also look forward, we long for the time when he will come again. And so even in the 1500s, Xmas was an abbreviation that comes from the Greek letter chi or x, meaning in the Greek. Jesus said that he would return, and we are to be on guard. We're to stand firm in the faith. We're to be courageous. We're to be strong. We're to cling to his promises. And so we've looked at joy. We've looked at hope. We haven't looked at joy yet. We've looked at hope. We've looked at peace. Today, we get to look at joy. And so we have the third candle of Advent called joy. Now, it's always good to kind of define terms, because as a believer in Jesus Christ, let me tell you that there may be times, this might surprise you, but I am not always happy. You too? Well, we can be sorrowful, but ever rejoicing. So let's just put it out on the table. Joy is not just temporary. It's not just happiness and warm fuzzies. But joy, even defined in the Bible, can be a good feeling, but so much more. The Bible tells us that joy is a gift, and it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's rooted when we place our hope and trust and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be an emotion, but it is something that is deep, something that is everlasting. The ancient Greek word for joy is chara, and it has so much connection with charis, which is translated Greek, in the Greek grace. As we said, joy is not just happiness, but it's a lasting expression of God's presence. Recently, when I attended Charlene Burrell's funeral, even though I didn't know her well, but when I saw Alex and his sisters up there talking about their mom, I too also started to cry. I started to cry just as an emotional response that came over me about their shared experiences of their mother. In part, I felt their loss. I felt their pain, but also their joy. Their mom doesn't have cancer anymore. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus healed Charlene once and for all. Today, if you get anything out of the message, the big idea of the message is this, that even in times of trouble and distress, we can have joy because God is greater. Even in times of darkness, in trials, in distress, we can have joy because God has overcome. Remember what Jesus said. He said that in this world we will have trouble, we will have tribulation, but take heart, Jesus has overcome the world. And I think it's not until we've actually gone through the tough times that we can actually look back and we can see, we can say, wow, I can't believe how God helped me through that dark time, that time of grief, that time of sorrow, that time that I was walking in the shadow of death. Maybe you've seen a bracelet or a tattoo, something similar to this. It stands for God is greater than my ups and downs. God is greater than your ups and downs. You might be going through something that's tough right now, but you and I, we can find hope, we can find joy, we can find peace in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today I want to encourage you, I want to preach to you a message about joy, but also to challenge you to try and to cultivate the fruit of joy in your life, to be joy-filled. I want to preach this because not only do I need to be more joyful, but so do you. God loves it when we are joyful, when we are joyful givers. He loves a joyful people. He loves it when we are enthusiastic, when we have joy, and it is contagious. I remember a guy in North Carolina, when asked about his favorite day, he would say his favorite day was December 26th, Boxing Day. When you take everything up, all the Christmas ornaments, and you pack them away for next year. Well, bah humbug to him. You know, we rejoice. We rejoice. He has made us glad, not mad or sad. And glad isn't just a trash bag company. As believers, we should see evidences of joy in our life. There should be evidences of God's grace in your life. There should be times that you have joy. Today, I want to look at Philippians 4. That's all the introduction about joy. Getting the scriptures now. Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul, he's going to take the word joy, and he's actually going to turn it into a verb, rejoice. And the question I want to pose to you today is, are you a joyful person? Are you genuinely a joyful person? What do people say about you when you're not in the room? Now, I totally get that there are some people that are not extroverts. Maybe your idea of fun is to be locked away alone with a book. No amens? But people have differences in dealing with social settings. I get it, but we are to be a joyful people. Philippians 4, two verses that I want to look at. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. If you're unaware, Philippians is one of those Pauline prison epistles. That's kind of fancy preacher talk just to say that the book or the letter was written by the Apostle Paul while he was locked up in jail. There's also sometimes called the captivity epistles. Paul, he's imprisoned, he's under house arrest in Rome, and he tells us to rejoice. As we went through the book of Romans, and oftentimes Paul, he refers himself as a prisoner, as a bondservant, as a slave of and for Jesus Christ. And we too, we were once slaves to sin, but now we are slaves to God. And so even in captivity, even under house arrest, we see these great pictures of joy and encouragement despite circumstances. Because let me tell you, biblical joy is not just a matter of how much you have in your checking account. It's not about how many notches in the belt you have, or how many clicks or likes you have on Facebook or not have. It's not based on just circumstances. No, true joy comes from God, the giver of joy. My first point today is that joy is a command. If you've ever been in church for any length of time, if you've ever heard a preaching on Philippians, you've probably heard that joy is a command. So here, Philippians 4:4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Is joy a gift? We know that it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If it's a gift and a command, is it our work or command to do? Is it truly spontaneous, just out of the blue? Is joy an emotion, a gift given and yet commanded for us to stir and to cultivate? If you think about that for a moment, is joy an emotion given by God and yet also commanded by God? And I'm not trying to trick you, but the answer to the question is both yes. Joy is a gift from God. It's also commanded by God to be manifested in us. And you might think, well, how can that be? If joy is something that is necessary for a Christian, if it's an active response to God's grace, it's not optional, it's a command. We're responsible also to obey. We're responsible to rejoice. We're dependent on Jesus so that he gets the glory. And so this kind of seems like a paradox. And throughout the Bible, we see that there are many of such paradoxes. These things that almost seem contradictory, but somehow jive together. So let me give you three other examples that the Bible commands, and yet we also see that they are gifts. First one, repentance. Is repentance a gift or a command? It's both. Repentance is both a gift and a command. Love, we're going to talk about this next week. Is it a gift or is it a command? Well, it's both. What about belief? We're commanded to believe, and yet faith is a gift. God gives us commands to do things and also gives the gift of obedience in order to do it. All of these wonderful gifts that God gives, especially the gift, the fruit of joy, it cultivates thanksgiving and praise back to God. At least that's what it should do. The gift of joy should cultivate thanksgiving. It should drive us to thanksgiving. 1 Peter 4:13 says, "Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings." We are to rejoice even in sufferings. If I swing a hammer and I hit my thumb, am I supposed to say, "Oh, bless the Lord and all that is within me"? Maybe you become Baptist. I don't know. Maybe some other words come out of your mouth. Some things should just be kept between you and the Lord. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord." We're told in Romans 15:13 that God is the one who does the filling of joy. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Joy is a command. Now, you won't find anywhere, "Thou shalt have joy." And it may seem a little weird as a command, but it is a command. Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." In case you didn't hear me, I will say it again, rejoice. Obviously, some emphasis added, but not just by me, but the Apostle Paul as well. It's commanded both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2 says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." James 1:2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Jesus says in John 16:24, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be full." Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, "I don't think you're following the command of joy"? Well, maybe they might say, "Well, you may not seem joyful or you seem sad." Let me tell you, one can be sad and still be joyful. Now, criticism, crankiness, and bananas are not fruits of the Spirit, but joy is. Joy is a command, but also we see that joy is continual. How often are we to rejoice? Always. Only on Sundays? What does Paul tell us here in Philippians as to the time? 10:30 a.m. only on Sunday morning? No, he says, rejoice always. It is to be continual. In good times, in bad times, in all times, we are to rejoice, even during times of trial and tribulation and loss. We are to rejoice in the Lord always. It is to be continual. This is a command. It's to be continual, but it's also an impossible task. Just like loving our neighbor or loving God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, we can't do it on our own merit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Joy isn't something that is just manufactured within yourself. Because you could be down in the dumps. You could be in deep depression. You could be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, I guess I just have to be happy because it's a command. Listen, I don't think Job was extremely happy when all the bad things were happening to him. But what did he say? He said, oh, the Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You lose everything under the permission and the providence of God, and there is still no blame. There's no charge against God with the wrong. I don't think I could have been that patient. I don't think you could have been that patient. That everything goes away. Everything that you have. And Job's response is that God's sovereign over it all. No anger. No blame. Listen, there may be circumstances that you may be going through that no one but you and God knows about. We're still to rejoice. We're still to have joy. We're to know that God is in control. It may be difficult, but you have the Holy Spirit's help. It can be done. God knows the circumstances that you go through. He wants you and me to trust in Him through and through. One of the things that's so important to realize is that this world is not all there is. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but only for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." This isn't all there is, folks. Joy is a command. Joy is to be continual. Finally, joy is to be in Christ. Joy comes when you search for it. If it's a command and it's also a gift, we're told it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We must seek our joy in the Lord. We're told in Nehemiah 8:10 to eat the fat and to drink the sweet. Hey, that's what the Bible says. You want to be biblical, eat the fat, drink the sweet over Christmas. But also, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This might have to be a mantra for you, repeated over and over and over again until you believe it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. This same joy is that in which the book of Hebrews talks about, where it says, looking to Jesus, the author or the founder, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, as he sat down at the right hand of God. How could the cross be joyful? Dying on the cross, paying for the sins of mankind, that is not pleasant. But listen to me carefully. The redemption of mankind, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it glorifies God. God, the ultimate creator of everything, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they delight in joy. He takes pleasure in showing love and kindness to us to help us to be filled with joy by the Holy Spirit that resides within us. Our joy has to be found in Christ, because joy isn't based solely on circumstances, but on the presence of the living God. He is the source of joy. He's the source of strength. And so if you find yourself that you worry and you have anxiety, you find that this life keeps throwing curveballs at you, how do you deal with non-joyful times. Philippians 4:6. If you're still there, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus." Remember, we're just passing through. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's coming soon. It's at hand, Paul says. This life, it's just a blip, it's a vapor, and then it's gone. We have joy when we rely on God, when we tell Him what we need, when we go to Him with our problems in prayer, then we don't have to worry. Be anxious for nothing. My best New York accent, forget about it. It's Christmas. I'm sorry. Christmas is on Thursday. It's a great time to reflect on the gifts of joy or to rejoice in the Lord. It's a command. It's also a gift. We have a choice. What are we going to do? Are you going to rejoice always? Because we are to rely on the Lord. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. When we know that our sins are forgiven, we can rejoice. We can have joy that God doesn't hold our sins against us. That gives me great joy. It should give you joy as well that because of Jesus coming and dying on the cross for sins, by confessing and believing in Him, we can have our sins forgiven, washed away. That's good news. That brings great joy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. While we were still sinners, Christ came and died for us. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that His payment for sin was completely paid for on the cross. That our sins are washed away because He didn't have any sins. We put all of our faith in Him. We trust in the biblical accounts that they are accurate, that they are truthful, because God does not lie. We believe on Jesus because He is the only one that can save us from our sins. Because He lived the perfect life. He fulfilled all the prophecies that were predicted. And He will come again because He said He would. God the Father, He raised Jesus from the dead to give His approval. And so we celebrate the first coming of Christ. And we long for the second advent of Christ when He will come again. And oh, to have our joy complete when Jesus comes again. To have our faith become sight. If you believe, you will have everlasting life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe should have everlasting life." This life, it's nothing compared to the joy that is coming when the glory of God is finally revealed in us. If you're going through tough times, let me tell you, Christian, you can rejoice. You can rejoice continually when your joy is found in Christ. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let me close with this, 1 Peter 5:10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while," it says what He will do, He will perfect. He will perfectly establish, He will strengthen, and He will settle you. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord in heaven, I thank You for joy. Thank you that you are the giver of joy. And thank you that we are even commanded to be joyful and to rejoice. But we can only do it with your power, with the power of the Holy Spirit living in confessed believers. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a joyful people, to seek after your face, to follow after Christ, to follow after the command to be joyful, to do it continually. Lord, I pray that during this Advent season, we would reflect on the birth of your Son, the Lord Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for hope and for peace and for joy and for love. Lord, I pray that you would even help us to rejoice in our sufferings. Because as Romans 5 says, it produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope doesn't disappoint us because you have poured out your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom you have given. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your one and only Son. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thank you even, Lord, for the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of joy. Lord, if there's someone here who has not confessed you as Lord, would you grant the free gift of salvation and belief? Lord, I thank you for your grace. And so you will bless us. Lord, that you would give us application to be a joyful people. Lord, I ask all these things in the name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said,